are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Good morning, family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need do, must do, could do, should do, and will do. And hope weather was accommodating for you to do it. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10, 12 Eastern. 11 to 1 Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, you cannot listen live. You can always go to the archives on timeforanawakening.com. When you go on the homepage, look for other programming, click on that, and then right there is African Perspectives. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. My program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Right after my program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. Brother Franklin is taking his daughter back to school. So Brother Kwaku has a couple of programs on Monday and Wednesday that I'm quite sure that you'll enjoy. So still check it out. The Black People Matrix, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern. Monday and Wednesdays. Other programs are Acres of Diamonds, Monday from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Right after Let's Buy Black 365 is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. That's from 9 to 10. And after that, well, I'll talk about that to the end. Tuesdays, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10. Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, Revive with Sister POC. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Please listen on Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Saturday Sports Talk is every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., not me, Sister POC, with her program Revive. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, once again, it's time for an Awakening. And now, every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show. Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. But if you are in the Atlanta area, you can go to the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk there that sells the products that are produced by us. Everything is produced
the laundry detergent, and I mean all kind of stuff. So just check it out on WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tahimba, the number to call is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to check out the things that Brother Bomani has been involved in terms of bringing, taking our people from the states here to Ghana, to South Africa, to various other parts of the continent. He has a trip coming up November 22nd to December 2nd. Give him a call or go online to find out the details of that trip. He also has a trip at the end of the year, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, to Ghana. So the trip to South Africa, Johannesburg and Cape Town, check it out. Find out how much it's going to cost you. And then, of course, the trip from Ghana to on December 24th. Check that out. And if you want to check out photos of previous trips, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos of previous trips, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna is also where the Marcus Garvey celebration will be held. 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in here in the West End. The Marcus Garvey celebration, of course, is Saturday on his birthday, August 17th. Saturday, August 17th at the Shrine of the Black Madonna located in the West End. So check them out. But the Shrine's got it all. Go to the Shrine of Black Madonna. The hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, Sunday from 1 to 3, and they have clothing, they have furniture, they have books, they have the red, black, and green shoes, the Nazgat shoes, they have Kwanzaa kits, they have it all. If they don't have the book that you requested or that you're looking for, just make the request, and I'm quite sure they'll get it for you. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, they also have an African Holocaust Museum, and also, too, they have a History Club every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. Brother Olatunji has the History Club from 1:30 to 3:30. But if you cannot make the History Club, brothers and sisters, you can get the information from the multimedia library that they have put together, the most extensive cultural library of its kind. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is currently over 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment at your disposal, at your fingertips, and all for you. Another bookstore in the Atlanta area is the Medu Bookstore. Medu. Medu means writings. There's a word that goes after Medu, and that is Netcher. Medu Netcher. Netcher means gods. The writings on the walls and the papyri or the Medu Netcher, the writings of the gods. So go check out the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. In fact, what's ironic is, right, as you're checking out We Buy Black and their kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall is the bookstore, right by there. So if you check both of them out. And the number to call to the bookstore, Medu Bookstore, is 404-346-3263. And another bookstore is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my brother Kazimde Ajamu. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. He has the red, black, and green shoes. He has books. They're ordering for you. He has everything that you may need. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, and their Thursday night broadcast this Thursday night at 9 p.m. The number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast. We pulled our monies together and we created Cafe Ulu, located in the Atlanta area in the Sylvan Mall, 2036 Sylvan Road. Go online and check out Cafe Ulu. order some coffee. Brothers and sisters, go online to usliftingusulu.com and become a member of Us Lifting Us. Become a contributing member. We need each other. It's all about us lifting us. Another product that we have at Cafe Ulu, aside from all the delicious coffees that are African coffees like Cameroon and Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopian, we also have Ugandan. We also have Nicaraguan and Brazilian. So check it out. It's a delicious vitality drink called Ambrosia, the drink of the gods. Ambrosia, Brother Colt Novak Young, and he has five varieties right there for you. And we sell them exclusively at the cafe. Alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, as well as cinnamon, as well as aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Delicious vitality drinks. Ambrosia. Akabin Institute. Make your check out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. To support the outstanding educational work that Brother Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Yah Baruti, are doing for our people. Training kids, developing in the mind for them to be warriors, not educating them to obey Caucasians for jobs. If you don't want to send a check, but you like to deal with PayPal or Cash App, you can do so. The $ Yah, YAAMBARUTI, Baruti. And continue to make those donations. They're very important. Sister Gabby, Gabrielle Real from Haiti, Sister Gabby. She's in Haiti and doing outstanding work in the northern eastern portion of the island. The northeastern portion of the island. Sanjay Haiti, SONJAYITI.org. Go online and check out the great work this sister is doing. Please do. SanjayHaiti.org. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Music Media Fund. The Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. In fact, you'll see it right on the front page. You don't even have to look anywhere else. You can just scroll down and to the right. It's right there where you can donate to the Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. Giving my good brother Jabari Jamani a good shout out again. His Black Conscious Caravan is going to take place. The date, August 17th, the day of Marcus Garvey Day. And that's going to be an exciting thing. It's really going to be an exciting thing. Give the brother a call if you are in the L.A. area and find out how you can be part of the caravan. Get on that caravan, get on that bus, and travel from one cultural center to another and have African food or Caribbean food or food from Belize or whatever. Music, presentations. So the number to call is 323-292-5550. 323-292-5550. And that is the Black Consciousness Caravan taking place on August 17th, Marcus Garvey Day. Also, too, as I mentioned, that the Shrine of the Black Madonna will have Marcus Garvey Day. They'll have Marcus Garvey Day, and it's going to be a very good program. You know, just like we had for the Kwanzaa these past few months. So we had for the Kwanzaa. So I'm looking for something. Okay, here's what I'm looking for, and that is Renoko Rashidi. As you know, Renoko was on the program, and he's going to Senegal and Gambia and Guinea-Bissau January 21st through February 4th next year. January 21st. And it's only $3,800 per person sharing a twin room. But if you want a single room, it's $680 additional. So I would say jump on that. You can contact Brother Renoco. You can give him a call, or you can go online to Renoco@hotmail.com. Renoco@hotmail.com. You know, so it's a good, I think, and he has all the information. He has the forums down there. African Dreamer Tours coming out of New York. You can make check payable and mail to African Dreamer Tours, 9 Frank Street, Valley Stream, New York. And the phone number to call is 516-285-4607. I'm going to jot that down as I continue to give this information out for those who may want to. It's coming up in January. You know, there's a deposit of $300 per person. And the final payment is due November 29th. But once again, it's November 29th. The tour is January 21st through December 4th of 2020. Going out of New York, Senegal, Gambia, Cambe Belongo. You will see where Kuta Kinte was from. I'll be announcing those. You know, I'm going to tell you, the stuff I announce, I don't know. I don't ask anybody for any money to announce those things. I'm just trying to make sure that, you know, things that I feel need to be supported, I'll just lend an ear to it and get the information out about it. Hopefully you'll make a decision, and a good decision, and be supportive of that program or whatever. Today is August 5th, and today is Dr. William Rogers' birthday. That's right, the Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Today is his birthday. Sending a birthday shout out to Dr. Rogers. Really happy for him, and a very good friend of mine. And this is how I feel about Dr. Rogers. You know it. Birthday to Dr. William Rogers and his program every Tuesday night, Black Reality Think Tank with but Dr. William Rogers. Happy birthday, my dear brother, and many, many more. Appreciate you. That's for sure. You know that. Yep, happy birthday. I haven't read from the Inye Sesim, the calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts. And so I'm going to do that right now so we can get off into the other things that we were going to get off into on the program in terms of discussion. And what those things are going to be today, I don't know. Sometimes. Let me just do this right quick. Brother Baba Baruti, along with many others, will be in the Richmond area August 16th through the 18th. And, of course, the 16th is a Friday. 17th is Marcus Garvey's birthday. And the 18th, they'll be at Virginia State in Richmond, Virginia. Or Petersburg, really. That's in Petersburg, but it's very close to Richmond. And the door of no... This is the... Remembering the Great Destruction, the Maafa Kibuka, the 6th Annual African Spiritual Healing Convocation, the Door of Return, Rebirth of African Civilization. So we want to make sure that that is announced. Some good people are going to be on that program. Mr. Peter Bailey. Peter Bailey is an older brother. He's about almost 90, I think. He was at Malcolm's side. He was at Malcolm's side when he was assassinated in the Autobahn Brawl Ballroom February 21st of 1965. So, all right, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 3rd. What are you saying about yourself when you say that the people you love, look to for love, live with, and have children with are bitches? Pen Black. It is the extreme preoccupation with sexual conquest which is at the root of cheating, which is not a natural inclination among Africans. It is not in our blood. We are neither dogs nor bitches. We are not animals in heat. We are only becoming so because we have lost sight of our traditions and are modeling our sexual appetites after the world's morally uncivilized minority. Predatory sexual behavior is part and parcel of the European sex imperative. It is a mentality which has no place in our tradition. However, it has infected us because we are constantly and systematically bombarded by imagery and definitions promoting a European reality. We become like those who are unable to distinguish right from wrong, or rather, we are learning wrong along with the how to make wrong appear right. Our confessions can lead us to no longer see Europeans as abnormal because it causes us to think and act distorted like them. Because we are the majority, once we become abnormal, they become normal. Affirm, there are no animals in our family. Affirm, there are no animals in our family. August 4th, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Sadly, we must expect dishonesty from some of the individuals we will come in contact with as we attempt to build economic relationships with family. The reason these Negroes do this are many, but one is that they see us as dumb suckers so blindly in love with some mythical, fabulous, bygone Africa that we will blindly sacrifice everything in order for African people to see the truth. Another is that we are taken as overzealous fools who will give others a great share of our profits just so we can keep another African business. Because it is evident that you love African people, they falsify African con artists. These falsified African con artists see you as an easy target for economic exploitation. Naive charity is seen as a basic characteristic of real grassroots revolutionary by people who do not understand our mission and or who have internalized the Europeans' predatory personality. They're being handicrafted by products of this anti-African culture, which makes it necessary for us to remain even mindful of the danger they pose to our sovereignty, sanity, and love of African people. These individuals are not African at heart. If this is precaution about them, take it to heart without allowing it to harden our hearts against those who truly want to be African. We will be able to avoid the fool me twice, shame on me phenomenon more often than not. Affirm, falsified Africans cannot shake me from building an African trust. Falsified Africans cannot shake me from building an African trust. Today, August 5th, we know no limitation to our enlightened vision. We respect no hindrance, and we fear no opposition. Brother Keti Awadu, the Conscious Rasta. Brother Keti Awadu, the Conscious Rasta. He has a radio program, too. Freedom can only manifest itself in those Africans who, number one, believe in the ingenuity, humility, resilience, integrity, and truth of our ancestors, who believe in the volatility, and incomparability of African people and the African person. Number two, to see the corruptive, insane, anti-African nature of Western society and cultural wasteland, and know that it is a physical, spiritual, and psychological death trap for Africans who want to be human. And three, understand there should not be a contradiction between what you believe, say, and do, and that a sacred connection defines the level of our humanity. Those who, number one, want to create some new, hybrid, colorless, acceptable, i.e. open to European culture-minded person through an impossible blending of the African with the European, or a more realistic melting of the African into and below the European. Number two, want to be African in unusually hyphenated name only, i.e. superficially, though wearing their natural hair and draping themselves in traditional attire, and maybe even reading some of our classics, but whose heart and mind still lie in Europe, people who would probably be called safe or feel good Africans. Or three, use a knowledge of African traditions, our historical glories, and integrated focuses, intimidated black thirst to buttress their fragile ego so they can march into whiteness without being too psychologically damaged, cannot help us. No, they cannot help us. Affirm, freedom manifests itself in everything that I am and I do. Affirm, freedom manifests itself in everything that I do and who I am. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know, before I get off into some of the stuff I wanted to talk about today in light of the situation, of course, that happened in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio. I was watching 60 Minutes last night, and it was interesting, one segment of 60 Minutes dealing with artificial intelligence, AI. They highlighted the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and the money that many corporations are giving to MIT, because these are the best, you know, minds, literally, not just in America, around the world, that are coming there to create whatever it is, just like they said yesterday. However you think, no matter how far out it may be, they're going to try it. They're going to fund it. They're going to see if what you're saying and what you have laid out can be done. So anything that they think can happen and make happen, they'll try. In fact, one of the people who is in a brand new building, huge, big glass building in Massachusetts. And, you know, just it's happening wherever. In fact, when they showed it, it kind of reminded me of the Men in Black. The Men in Black series, when they, you know, in the Men in Black office where they have all these weird things happening, and except they don't have aliens walking around, you know. But there's all kinds of things that are happening. It's very busy, and they're working on this, that, and the other. And one of the people involved is a Caucasian man who is a physicist, and he also a mountain climber. Unfortunately, he lost both of his legs. It was extremely cold and so forth. Frostbite came in and he lost both of his legs, and they cut his legs off. And so what happened? He, you know, he got the prostheses, but now the prostheses are so good. I mean, you can use your mind and the muscles in your leg to you can move your foot, the prosthetic foot, in all kinds of ways. In fact, he walks in proudly with his prostheses, and he still climbs mountains. In fact, they have one of those mountain climbing things in the MIT AI building, let me put it that way, artificial intelligence building, or they're trying to, whatever they call it. But anyway, he is climbing those, and I mean, he's four square to the future of what could possibly happen with the human being doing this, that, and the other. Just like they had this one Caucasian who is growing food. He's growing food, not in soil, but in a contained atmosphere that would be conducive perfectly to grow. So drought and other extreme weather patterns, which of course are going to be experienced because of climate change, would have no effect. And another one, you put this contraption on your head, and you would speak into, someone would ask you a question or a comment or some reference or any, whatever. And that thing that you have on your head can hear what is being stated, and computer will work it out and then put it into your mind, and you would physically answer the question. If I gave you a math question, you know, you see it on the screen, you'll see it on the computer screen, and then you would answer then it comes to you into your mind, and bam, it's there, and you answer the question. You know? In fact, at the end of the program, they said that contraption is so, now it's very small. I mean, if somebody had that and went on Jeopardy, they would beat Ken Jennings and the other Caucasian who just ran a long stream and made millions of dollars. Then there was another contraption. I mean, understand this, brothers and sisters. I understand the development of certain things that help humanity. But we are in a situation, particularly for African people. I look at what I do as a brother who is a Pan-Africanist, who's a cultural nationalist. I look at the situation, what could and should be best for African people. I understand that African people in the diaspora, you need to prepare to come home, particularly if you have skills that will help build Africa. African people on the continent need to embrace African people in the diaspora. Have them come home. Let's build. Let's build roads, highways, ports, schools, hospitals. Let's connect Africa throughout the continent. Let me read to you what Kwame Nkrumah said. Let me go back there and read this particular piece of what Nkrumah said, because it's vitally important that we understand, you know, trying to get, okay. Okay. I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African race united under one federal government will emerge not as just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strengthen, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Kwame Nkrumah, Speak of Freedom, 1961. Kwame Nkrumah. That's what we should be. Regardless of all the technology, all the things in the future, we need to deal with what happens with human beings. What happens to those who are born and those who are unborn? What happens to family? What happens to culture? What happens to humanity? The fact of the matter is that the European mind, and we're going to talk about this in the second half of the program, and I want you to join me and give me your perspective, give me what you think in terms of, and I'll throw out there how I feel about this situation in Trump and what they call constantly as white supremacy. If you listen to this program, you know I don't use the word white to describe them because they're not white. Just like we are not black, we're Africans. They are Europeans or Caucasians. You know? And I don't use the word supremacy, because they shown the hell ain't superior over nobody. But what they are is extreme. And so we'll talk about that. And as far as I'm concerned, after watching that 60 Minutes program last night, and I've seen other programs, in fact, one program on artificial intelligence, they stated there's going to be a lot of occupations and jobs that will be lost because of artificial intelligence. It's already happening. Of course, as a child back in the 60s, I had a job as a dishwasher, and I was replaced by automation. I was physically washing dishes, and then when the restaurant got a dishwasher, they realized they didn't need me anymore. Just sitting back there waiting and rinse some stuff off and stack them. And when I got enough, put them through the washer, and then, you know, no. The busboy could do that. But the real one was when this brewery opened in Milwaukee. First, it opened up as Blatt's. Blatt's was one of the breweries many breweries that were in Milwaukee. Miller, Pabst, Blatt's, you know, Schlitz. There were so many. Of course, Milwaukee was tagged as the brew town, brew city, because of the brew. In fact, the baseball team is the Brewers. And so this brewery opened, and I was like, wow, it's going to be great right in our hood, right? It's right in the projects, you know? And I'm like, wow, there's going to be a lot of jobs. When I inquired about it, not that I was looking for a job, but when I inquired about it, they told me that, oh, no, no. They're only going to be about 50, 60 people working here. This is an automated, you know. They don't need that many people. This is automated. And so the reality of businesses and entrepreneurs and corporations and entities like that is to maximize, in America, is to maximize profit. They don't give a damn about human beings. We want to maximize profits. And so, therefore, they would create a system where machines will do the work of hundreds, if not thousands. You know, back in the old times when the cars were made on an assembly line, because Henry Ford did not invent the car. He invented mass production. He invented the assembly line, where it goes down this line. Each person has a particular piece to put on the car until finally at the end of the line, whatever that would be, you have a finished product, you know. Well, then, of course, now you know the assembly lines are robotics, you know. And of course, with that, more and more artificial intelligence being created to show that, hey, we don't need human beings. All of the transportation, your car, trucks, buses, railroads, all of them will be run by machines, run by smart computers. They'll be able to sense everything around it. They'll be able to sense things that are hundreds of yards, if not a block or two ahead. They'll be able to stop. They'll be able to accelerate. They'll be able to do whatever it is. They'll be able to, you program it, it goes from point A to point B, no problem. Pick stuff up there, drop stuff off here, no problem. Already, I don't know if it was Uber or if it was Lyft or now Uber Lyft, whatever it, if that's what it is. We're looking into, of course, definitely look into driverless cars. In fact, to kind of postpone that, I think it was a Lyft lady. She was supposed to be paying attention, but she wasn't paying attention. And of course, a person was hit and killed. But had she been paying attention, she could have been able to manually slow that car down or make it come to a stop or whatever to avoid that fatal accident. But just another test. So, I mean, you know, but believe me, by the time they roll out seriously like that, all of those things will be worked out and all of those jobs will be gone. So, you know, we have to understand. As I watched that program last night, I can say to myself, for us on the continent, we need to understand that it ain't about the AI. It is about putting African people to work. It is about putting Africans together to coming together to build, to make Africa great, to utilize Africa's resources for the betterment of African people. That's what this is all about. It ain't about the technology. And so, no. Because believe me, y'all, Africa needs infrastructure. They need sewage systems, water systems, energy systems.
They need roads, highways, railroads, ports. They need to do this all in conjunction with understanding the landscape, understanding the environment, finding ways to make sure that the migrations of beautiful, great animals are not disrupted. They can still, that the Serengeti, which I saw that last night on Discovery Channel, narrated by Sister Nipita Nwango, beautiful piece that they did on the animals on the Serengeti. And of course, if you don't know, a lot of documentaries are set up. They set animals up and put them in particular positions. I saw how they do that. You know, this is definitely a setup, you know. But for that hour's time or whatever it is, everything worked out. Of course, it worked out well for the animals involved. The lioness who went outside of the pride she went outside of the pride and got pregnant and had four cubs. And when she tried to go back into the pride, and of course, these cubs were not part of the pride. And there were some, you know, they were going to, you know, kill her and kill those cubs. So she had to go. And remember one time she made a kill of a zebra. And it was taken by the hyenas because they were going to eat her kids, those cubs. And so the hyenas, you know, took her kill, so she couldn't feed her cubs. I mean, it was just a good piece. The baboons, how they interacted, the cheetah, once again, against the hyenas. So, but those are the things that we must understand to keep in harmony with ourselves as human beings and nature. We're that people. That's who we are. The European, his whole quest has been to dominate, to control. And we're going to get off that. We're going to get off into that when we come back from the break, because we're going to talk about this another mass shooting, and I want to get your perspective, your opinion. I want you to give us a call at 215-490-9832, and we're going to be right back. We're going to play a little something, and we'll be right back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
the lie and lie the love are hanging on, we push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what. Twisted children are killing frogs. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs. Tired old ladies kissing dogs. I hate the human love of that stinking mud. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. He's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. Have one doubt, they call it treason. With chicken feathers all or without wonder. God damn it, trying to make it real compared to what. Of God, preachers filling us with fright. They all trying to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it. I'm trying to make it real compared to what. And where's that honey? Where's my God and where's my money? Unreal values, a crass distortion. Unwed mothers need abortion. Kind of brings to my old young King Tut. He did it now. Try to make it real compared to what.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Eddie Harris and Les McCann trying to make it real compared to what? Believe me, that's what time it is. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Very quickly and succinctly, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix with our good brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. And then Acres of Diamonds this evening from 6 to 8. Also, right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, the Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And happy birthday to Dr. Rogers today. Revive with Sister POC on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. And then Relationships with Joy and Troy on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. On Friday, if it's Friday at 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday Sports Talk, 10 a.m. to 12 noon with Troy Wilmore. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, now, Monday through Friday, the Warren Ballantyne Show from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. The number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you know, if you've listened to this program at any length, you know I could give less than a rat's boop about Caucasians, their issues, their problems. But what I try to do is bring a historical perspective to it. My understanding of our history, understanding of their history and their evolutionary development, the mindset that Europeans have and how they view things, and the fact that there's nothing that we can do to change how they are. I know we try. It's a damn shame. It's a waste of time. Understand that what you're seeing, when people talk about white supremacy, Europeans, who are the most violent-prone people on the planet, they came out of an environment that became very harsh and unforgiving. And in their evolutionary development, they developed a mindset of selfishness, greediness, violent. In fact, a Caucasian named Michael Bradley wrote a book called The Iceman's Inheritance, The European Sexist, Racist, and Aggressive Nature. Because of how he had to develop in that caused him to be of a mindset of survival of the fittest, rule with an iron fist, might makes right. Might makes right. And of course, they have never had respect for women, and they still don't. And so that kind of upbringing causes them to behave and act in the way that they've done. And even though they rose up a few times, they rose up with the Greeks, they rose up with the Romans, they went into a dark age where nothing was happening with them. They're very violent people. They warred amongst themselves. They develop systems of peonage, of serfdom, and so forth, which they have today. You know, they are very violent-prone people. It's just in their DNA. And so when they rose up again and they began to go around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of France, Portugal, Spain, England, I could go on. But one thing they noticed, that when they had relationships, intimate rape of the women they encountered, that the offspring did not look like them.
That's why Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, in her work, said that this innate feeling caused a fear of genetic annihilation. And because of that, they feel that they have to control everything. They have to control the planet. They have to control everybody's sex lives, everybody's life, period. They have to control all of the resources. They have to control. And of course, this selfish, greedy, evil mindset have had, I mean, just disastrous effects for African people. And of course, if you listen to this program, you know, I've always said, and always will, that one thing for sure is that Europeans have always found a better way to kill your ass. They've always found better ways, from probably a rock, maybe that's a rock that he had Cain and Abel, or stick, or, you know, or branch, to swords, catapults, spears, arrows, crossbows, guns, you know, because that's like when Marco Polo went to China, when he came back from China, he brought fireworks, which of course the Chinese used for celebration, the gunpowder. But what Europeans did was fashion superior weaponry that you could be in at a distance. I could fire this, bam, and shoot you right in your chest and you would die. And the other people would see it. They didn't want that to happen, so they just split. Instead of saying, because at that time you had to reload. These are muskets. You had to throw the powder in and the ball in and push it all down, get the flint, click it all back. It took some time. And, you know, that's why when they started, they had a coordinated thing. This row would shoot, the next row would shoot. So they would, like, three rows. And so the ones that shot first, the other ones are ready, they shoot. So they're getting ready. The other ones were ready there, and so forth and so on with their evil ass. So, what happens is that they became the dominant force in the world. They became the dominant force in the world with map making and shipbuilding capabilities that they learned from the Moors and others. Because they have no originality. They have no originality. Let's be real. And I'm not saying that in a slight way, I'm just saying that in a historical and true way, they have no originality. But what they have done is co-opted and appropriated everybody else's stuff and claimed it has their own, just like they did ancient Kemet and everything else. But what you also must understand that this violence that we've been witnessing here is around the globe. It's around the globe. Thanks, Dr. Rogers. Appreciate you, dear brother. This is not just America. European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege is global. I don't call it white supremacy because they're not white, nor are they supreme. But they sure in the hell are extreme. Europeans, Caucasians, extremism, racism. I keep the racism in there because of how they use it. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are fathers and mothers of. So when I see the word race, I automatically use the word culture instead, because that's what it is. Cultures. And the dominant culture is European culture, which they have imposed on everybody. And their imposition of their culture on us makes us hate and denigrate our culture and want to be like them. Cultures. But one thing that the European, when he had these intimate relationships, rape, seeing that it did not look like them, causing this innate fear of genetic annihilation. You see that happening today. This Caucasian, European Jewish Caucasian, wrote a book, oh, maybe 30-some years ago or longer, The Decline of the West, Ben Wattenberg, where he talks about the fact that the numbers of Europeans are declining. At one time, they were experiencing zero population growth. For everyone that's born, one dies, and continuously. Zero population growth. Well, for the last, in fact, it has been stated in this country, by 2050, the demographer said many years ago, by 2050, Caucasians would be a minority in this country. And of course, for many Caucasians, it wasn't stated like that. When they put that information out, there was no big uproar. It was just like, But now what you're seeing is the uproar. What you're seeing globally is the uproar. Because they recognize that even when that dude wrote that book and they said by the year 2050, oh no, because they're experiencing negative population growth. For every one that is born, two die. And as a consequence, globally, they are decreasing. That's why they allowed a lot of influx of foreigners in Europe. They didn't want to do that. But like Germany, Germany has an old, the European population is old. The mean age is around 30-some, damn near 40. And so the Europeans allowed the Syrians, not Africans, the Germans did. Because, you know, but they feel that they can somehow be okay with, you know, maybe some of them will convert to Christianity, they think. But they need workers. They need people to do things. So they allow that. In other parts. Now, of course, this thing Brexit, what is that about? That is about saying we're getting out of the EU because the EU is allowing this immigration and we don't want this immigration. In fact, they have enough immigration in England already, which of course is the irony, isn't it? England came into everybody's damn country and took and robbed and made England what it is. Steal their commonwealths. Still, the English people get wealth from former and still colonies of England. If you listen to this program, you will have a deep, deep disdain for the British. Not individuals who are British people, no. For them as a government and those who subscribe to the idea that the sun never sets on the British Empire and how great they are. I have a hatred, and that's deep, because I know they are the ones who are responsible for a lot of the craziness, a lot of the sadness that happens to African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora, and definitely here, because this is British. Why do you think you see all these stories and things on the news constantly talking about the British, the Queen, and the British royal family, all the little children, all that bull, still controlled by the British? And so the fact that they didn't want that immigration in Britain, that's why they're talking about getting out of the European Union. Because of immigration. But yeah, we can integrate anybody else's country. We do what the hell we want. And so now the situation, you know, somebody asked me, Like yesterday, I said, well, it's another example, as Malcolm once said, of chickens coming home to roost. Excuse me, y'all. That the violence that they have perpetrated on the planet is right here in their face. Constantly, though. So really, it's become the new norm. A friend of mine sent me a piece on what's happening. Okay, 6 of the 9 victims in Dayton were American Africans, and the shooter killed his sister. Was she dating a brother? I don't know. She killed his. But you sent me this information on mass shootings this year so far. Mass shootings, particularly in European countries and around the world. I think there was a mass shooting. It looks like Mexico. I don't know. It looks like the Mexican flag. There were 3 of them. But in Canada, of course, remember that one. Brazil, in Australia. Everywhere else, 0. 0 mass shootings in the Western world. United States, almost 250 mass shootings. Over 250 this year. There was one thing that when you have a population like the United States, that are, Caucasians are dwindling. That's why when you've seen the Caucasians marching in Charlottesville, you will not replace us. Jews will not replace us. You will. There's this idea of replacement because their numbers are dwindling. So no longer would the 2050 be the time that Europeans will become a numerical minority in this country. They're now saying 2040 or 2035, almost 16 years from now. 16 years from now. That's not long. That particularly the Latino population or the Hispanic population, because they've already went beyond us because of immigration, illegal immigration, and so forth. And also, too, because we were experiencing 0 population growth. I don't know how damn long we're going to be 13% of this damn population with a young population that we have, that we be still 13%. That is because we are in prison. Mass incarceration, homosexuality, going outside of who we are culturally to wed and to have children with, abuse, substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, and so forth. Some of us just plain ain't about nothing. And given those factors, our numbers here in America have stayed where they are. But the Hispanic has grown exponentially. And so, therefore, by the year 2030, 2035, because they are experiencing negative population growth, not just in this country, but globally, that's why they're doing what they're doing. El Paso shooting comes amid global rise in Caucasian nationalist violence. Reports that the suspected gunman at a Walmart in El Paso saw this mass shooting as a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas has prompted bipartisan calls for the U.S. to treat the threat of domestic white terrorists as seriously as the threat of attacks by supporters of Al-Qaeda or ISIS. But experts who study racist violence say the attack must be understood not just as a domestic problem the United States has, but as a problem as a part of a global network of Caucasian nationalist radicalization and violence. The escalating global death toll from Caucasian nationalist attacks puts spotlight on the social media companies that have allowed Caucasian nationalists to organize on their platforms with little interference. as well as on the clear parallels between Caucasian terrorists' justifications for their attacks and the racist anti-immigration rhetoric of some mainstream politicians. Donald Trump has repeatedly referred to immigrants and refugees as an invasion. Trump has used all the, yesterday on the national news, Mick Mulvaney made two of them. Mick Mulvaney is Trump's chief of staff, acting, because he has no permanent anything, because he, Donald Trump says, we're going to get the best people. And Mick Mulvaney definitely tried to, put the onus on mental illness and any other thing except for Donald Trump's rhetoric. Except Donald Trump doing whatever he can to spur this on. Because he's playing to a base that he still believes is big enough, strong enough to put him in 2020. And whether he gets in or not, I don't give a damn. But I do care about the safety of humanity. I do care about the safety of brothers and sisters. A global problem it is. The manifesto that appeared to be linked to this El Paso attack Saturday described the growing number of Latino people in Texas as an invasion that threatened the political power of Caucasian residents. The shooting, which left 20 dead, is being investigated by federal officials as an act of domestic terrorism. So what? Perpetrators of other recent attacks around the world indicate that they too believe that Caucasian people are under attack and that immigrants, refugees, and other people of color are invaders who put the Caucasian race at risk. The Canadian man who opened up and fired at the mosque in Quebec in January of last year, or 2 years ago. The American man who plowed his car into a crowd of protesters after a Caucasian supremacy rally in Charlottesville later that year. The 46-year-old American who allegedly attacked a Pittsburgh synagogue in 2018. The Australian man who allegedly killed 51 people at two mosques in Christ Church in New Zealand. Many of these attacks inspired even more acts of violence. A suspected Christ Church shooter who was accused of live streaming his show, if you remember that, he did, he live streamed his stuff. His murder of a dozen innocent people in New Zealand in March appears to have inspired at least two additional mass shootings in the United States within 5 months. In April, another Caucasian man opened fire at a synagogue in California, killing one woman and injuring three other people. He cited the Christchurch attacks as his model, prosecutors said. On Saturday, the manifesto linked to the El Paso shooter too referred to Christchurch massacre as an explicit inspiration. Too many people still think of these attacks as single events rather than interconnected actions, the historian Kathleen Bilo, author of Bring the War Home, The White Power Movement and Paramilitary America, wrote in an opinion column on Sunday, we spread too much ink dividing them into anti-immigrant racist, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic attacks. True, there are those things, but they are also connected with one another through a broader white power ideology. The fear of genetic annihilation. That's why, dear brothers and sisters, I hope you understand. And I hope you would be like me. You put nothing past these folks to do any and everything possible to maintain and sustain the privilege that they've created for themselves. At the center of contemporary Caucasian nationalism ideology is the belief that whiteness is under attack and that a wide range of enemies, from feminists to left-wing politicians to Muslims, Jews, immigrants, refugees, and of course us, are all conspiring to undermine and destroy them through means as varied as interracial marriages, immigration, cultural Marxism, and criticism of straight white men. A history of recent attacks linked to Caucasian nationalism. And there's a whole bunch of them. I mean, a whole bunch of them here. In the past decade, across continents, Caucasians have repeatedly chosen some targets for shootings, stabbings, bombings, and car attacks. Oslo, Norway. They don't give the dates of these particular attacks. 77 killed in a bomb attack, followed by a shooting targeting the island's summer youth program on Norway's Labor Party. The shooter, Anders, wanted to prevent an invasion of Muslims and deliberately targeted politically active young people who saw as a cultural Marxist. More than a half of them dead were teenagers. Oh, I remember this very well. In Oak Creek, Wisconsin, the Sikh temple attack. Well, the Caucasian there, he didn't know the difference between a Muslim and a Sikh. He thought he just saw a turban on somebody's damn head, and I don't give a damn who it is, what they believe. I'm going to kill them because they're other than me. They're other. They're cultural others. Six worshipers, including the temple president, are killed. The shooter, a frustrated neo-Nazi who had played in white power bands, was a regular on racist websites. He had previously talked to one of his colleagues in the U.S. military about radical holy war that was coming. They believe it. Just like one brother I was listening to the other day talking about an impending race war. Well, of course, we're not prepared for any kind of damn war here. And I look at us globally. We ain't prepared for nothing, particularly nothing like that. But what we should be preparing for is for African people controlling their lives, controlling their resources, controlling their land. And whatever they can do to defend that, they must do. Overland Park in Kansas, a KKK leader shot and killed three people at a Jewish center and retirement home. One of them was just 14 years old. He said he believed Jews were destroying the white race and that diversity was some kind of genocide. None of his victims were Jewish, but he said he considered two of them to be accomplices to Jewish people. Understand, because the Jews of today are Caucasians. They are Caucasians. These are European Jews. These are not the Hebrews. They are not Semitic. They're not half. The reason why Hitler wanted to destroy them because they were considered hybrids. They were considered semi-half, half white, half whatever. No, these Europeans, Jews, are Caucasians. Charlottesville, of course, the Bible study, Dylan Roof, nine people killed during the Bible study, the historic black church is a church that Denmark Vesey had attended. The nine victims included elderly, longtime church members at Mother Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And, of course, the state senator Pinckney, who was the pastor. The shooter, a self-avowed, said he wanted to start a race war. Sweden, three killed in an attack at a local high school. The attacker stabbed students and teachers, targeting those who were darker skinned. Three died, including a 15-year-old Ahmed Hassan, who was born in Somalia and had recently moved to Sweden. Welcome. Just like Ilhan Omar. The UK, Labour Party Joe Cox shot and stabbed to death. A supporter of British staying in the UK. Cox was attacked a week before the UK referendum in 2016. The man convicted of killing her, a Caucasian supremacist obsessed with the Nazis and in apartheid era South Africa, shouted, "This is Britain. Keep Britain independent. Britain first." It's like America first. These are code words for maintaining and sustaining European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. New York. Timothy Coughlin, stalked and killed by Caucasian supremacists with a sword. His killer, an American military veteran, said he targeted a random American African man on the street of New York as a practice run for a bigger attack, as a part of a campaign to persuade Caucasian women not to enter interracial relationships. In Portland, Oregon, two men were killed and one injured after they tried to intervene to protect a young woman on a public train who were being targeted with an anti-Muslim tirade. The alleged killer shouted, "Free speech or die," in the courtroom, and death, the Infada. That's the group that's trying to develop anarchy. Intifada. Heather Heyer killed and dozens injured after a car plunged into the anti-neo-Nazi protesters. The killer had been obsessed with Hitler as a child, as a teenager. He was obsessed with Hitler, according to a former teacher. In phone calls from jail, he was recorded criticizing Heyer's mother as a communist and one of those anti-Caucasian supremacists. In Kentucky, a man attempted to enter a American African church before allegedly killing two American Africans in a supermarket. A witness said that during the attack, the alleged shooter said, "Caucasians don't kill Caucasians. Whites don't kill whites." And you've heard that before. You've heard even the police officers say that. And he wasn't joking. Look at what happened. Somebody black, especially in that kind of situation, would be killed. But they're able to take these folks into custody very easily. The Tree of Life synagogue shooting, all of these, you know. People who believe in Caucasian supremacist conspiracies, demographic change, is an existential threat to the Caucasian people, says Cynthia Miller Idris, a professor of education and sociology at American University and a senior fellow at the Center for Analysis of Radical Right. These conspiracy theories refer to demographic shifts in dramatic, violent terms as a kind of genocide or great replacement, the great replacement of one people with another. The idea of replacement is centered to this movement. You will not replace us. Jews will not replace us. Do we have a caller? We have a caller. 404, good afternoon. You got a question, comment?
No, can you hear me?
I sure can. I can hear you, brother. Go ahead.
I just
want to listen?
I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll put you on mute and you can listen to the rest of the program. Thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate that. These conspiracy theories refer to the demographic shifts in dramatic, violent terms as a kind of genocide or great replacement of one group with another. The idea of replacement is central to this movement. You will not replace us. Jews will not replace us. Caucasian nationalists and neo-Nazis chanted as they marched with flaming the tiki torches through Charlottesville. It has echoed in the manifestos of mass murderers and the chants of Charlottesville marchers since being coined by a French Caucasian nationalist writer and conspirator theorist in 2011. But many of the countries where Caucasian nationalist radicalization is a threat, including the U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, Caucasian people are in fact not the native population and are not being displaced. Despite this, recent racist violence in the United States, Canada, New Zealand, and Europe is linked by a shared conspiracy that white people are being displaced from their home countries, said Heidi Birch, the intelligence director of the Southern Poverty Law Center, an organization that monitors hate groups in America. At the extreme end of Caucasian extremism, you have this group of people who believe that the only way to create change is to create a violent social collapse that will lead to an apocalyptic end times and a so-called race war, and then eventually to restoration and rebirth. See, because see, their mindset is they have the ability to kill on a mass scale. Remember what I said earlier? One thing I've always found about the Europeans, the Caucasians, they've always found a better way to kill. And so now they could kill, I mean, indiscriminately on a mass scale. They've always had that. And they're always coming, they're always trying to find better ways, more insidious ways, more covert ways to kill you. Germ warfare. All kinds of stuff. You know, you name it. Through anti-Semitism, and I ain't down with all that. At the heart of the Caucasian national conspiracy theories, many different groups are labeled as enemies. In the past decade, deadly attacks linked to Caucasian nationalism has been carried out against Muslims, Jews, American Africans, at Bible studies and historic black churches, left-wing activists and politicians in the United States and across Europe. More than 175 people have been killed in at least 16 high-profile attacks linked to European Caucasian extremism around the world since 2011. Although the politicians often label Caucasian nationalist violence as senseless, analysts suggest that the hate crimes are often spiked alongside political events like elections. Many of these senseless attacks have been carried out during key moments of mainstream political debates over immigration and refugee policies. Joe Cox, a British member of Parliament, was assassinated by a far right-wing extremist in June of 2016 in her run-up to the Brexit referendum. Pro-Brexit campaigners claimed at the time that voting to remain in the European Union would result in a swarms of immigrants entering the UK and that it would prompt mass sexual attacks. Cox killer shouted, "Britain first," as he shot and stabbed her to death. The shooting at the Tree of Life, the worst anti-Semitic mass murder in U.S. history, happened during the run-up to the midterm elections. At that time, conservative media and Republican politicians were prompting fears of a caravan of migrants heading toward the country from Central America. Congressman Matt Gaetz was one of those who suggested that the caravan had been orchestrated by Jewish financier George Soros. Trump, who spent years questioning the citizenship of American President Obama, has consistently made public comments that include Caucasian rhetoric. He campaigned on a ban on Muslim immigration, border wall, and his campaign announcement suggested that Mexican migrants were rapists. As president, he has characterized migrants as invaders in several tweets. At a rally in May, Trump used the term invasion to describe the arrival of immigrants at the southern border. At the same rally, he raised the prospects of using weapons on immigrants. When asked, "What do we do to stop these people?" someone in the crowd shouted, "Shoot them!" And Trump laughed. When you have politicians using language like invasion and infestations, it reinforces extreme beliefs in a way that make them more legitimate. Conservative and even mainstream media outlets have always played a role in mainstreaming Caucasian nationalist ideas. There's so much to this article, I'm telling you, so much, that it gets ridiculous in terms of, you know. But let me get to some of this other information by the numbers. While there are no official surveys of hate crimes in the United States, several organizations that monitor them across desperate jurisdictions and reportedly standards say that crimes motivated by Caucasian extremism has been rising in recent years. And of course, with the rise, but you know, it really started with the rise of Barack Obama. Because when Caucasians seen that this cat was going to be president, we're really losing it. And of course, they went out and they purchased guns like you wouldn't believe. In fact, you know, the raid on guns and ammunition, because number one, they thought that with his presidency, he was going to prevent folks from getting guns. One thing that Barack Obama did do, and this is what he did. He helped maintain and sustain the privilege that Europeans, Caucasians, white folks have in this country and globally.
Well, you know,
Hey, Jay. Good morning.
Hey,
good afternoon.
Hey. Listen, I know we got limited time, so I'm going to get to the point right quick. The Urugu is only behaving in the natural way that he is and what he is. That's all. He loves killing.
Yeah.
He gets off on killing.
Yes.
It's like sex to him.
Yeah.
It would make him feel good. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't expect nothing more for this dog. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The only way they will change the gun laws in this country is when we start acting and behaving in that manner towards Urugu. As long as that don't happen, they just will make excuses and do the necessary things to keep things just moving forward. The reality is this. You gotta, as an African, protect yourself from this Urugu. You can't be placing yourself in a position to get yourself murdered by messing with Nikki. Leave that dog alone.
Yeah.
You don't need that dog in your life. This brother lost his life because he wanted to lay down with an enemy. A filthy, no good, stinky cage beast caused him and others of our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Now, in regards to the cat in El Paso or whatever, that's just natural. That's going to happen more and more. That's not going to stop.
No, it hasn't stopped.
In office,
right?
The clown in office is setting it up so that this behavior will continue, so that they could just continuously do what they do.
But see, Jay,
you got to understand.
But see, Jay, you didn't need a person like Trump in office when you seen a so-called European Caucasian terrorist attacks happen in this country and other parts of the world. Once again, this has been happening. This has been going on for some time. And it just so happened, it happens more and more, becomes like a norm. This country has already had 250 mass shootings this year alone. 250. Nowhere else in the so-called Western world they had even had one. Although other parts of the Western world, they're feeling that too, because their numbers are dwindling. The Caucasians' numbers are dwindling. That's why I believe that you see all of these commercials and all of these movies and stuff promoting miscegenation and mixish. I was going to say, you know, all this mulattoism, if you want to use that term, or mixed race people, if you want to use that term, you know.
Well, they just doing what they do.
And that's what they do. And they will continue to do it. Because
they just doing what they do.
Right. Because in actuality, they have the sanction by Europeans who are in authority. They have the sanction. They even have the sanction of religious institutions. They have the sanction to do this.
Well, listen, Oshi, I got to run. I will talk to you on Wednesday. Be good.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot, Jay. While there are no official surveys of hate crimes in the U.S., several organizations that monitor them across the desperate jurisdictions and reporting standards say that crimes motivated by Caucasian extremism have been rising in recent years, and not just because of Trump. Although Trump has exacerbated them, Trump has emboldened them. When Trump was elected, there was a rally at one of the hotels in D.C. That same, he was elected that night, that same day, there was a rally of the alt-right, Richard Spence, with the Nazi salute, saying what a great day it is. David Duke being interviewed the same time, especially when they had that rally in Charlottesville, saying that Trump's victory was a sign that Caucasians will once again take back and get rid of all of this misogyny, all this integration stuff, all of this multiculturalism, all that bull that they, you know, nah, this is white rights. We created this for our generation, for our prosperity. We didn't create this for some multi, you know, that was put in there as a flowery damn language. No, they didn't create this for some grand experiment for humanity, like a lot of us want to believe. Because number one, in order for you to really take pride in it, you have to assimilate. You have to go along to get along. And that's, and of course, a lot of us tried our best, didn't we? We tried our best. We've been trying our best since they brought us here and did what they did to us. Processing our hair, bleaching our skin, hating Africa, hating Africans, hating the darkness of us, the lips, the nip, all of it. According to a report last week from the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at San Bernardino, there were 17 homicides carried out by Caucasian nationalists in the U.S. alone in 2018. That constituted a vast majority of the 22 extremist murders that the center counted that year. Early in the year, the Anti-Defamation League reported that all but one of 50 extremist-linked murders they counted were committed by people with direct links to Caucasian nationalist movements or ideologies. The exceptions was a killing by an Islamic extremist who had previously been involved with Caucasian supremacy. Since 9/11, and you know, 9/11's coming up next month, and we're going to go deep into that one. Since 9/11, that inside job that it was, the United States has devoted $2.8 trillion to counterterrorism, according to the Stimson series, the Stimson Center, with almost a half a billion going to the Department of Homeland Security in that time period. But the small slice of this devoted to right-wing extremists has been further diminished in the Trump era. Earlier this year, Homeland Security disbanded a group of intelligence analysis focused on domestic terror threats after shutting down programs specifically directed at neo-Nazis and far-right-wing groups. According to the Brookings Institute, Eric Rosen, who is, when it comes to domestic terrorism, the United States continues to rely mostly on the local police. At local levels, law enforcement officials across the country have faced scrutiny and failing to take serious the threats of Caucasian nationalist violence, and for some times devoting more attention to policing anti-fascist protesters than violent neo-Nazis. Some American law enforcement officials have said they were unprepared to deal with Caucasian nationalist violence. Burt said the FBI has admitted that this is the number one domestic terror threat. But then at the same time, federal agencies have been focusing on Islamic extremism for so long that they are way behind the eight ball on this one. Yeah. So the reality is, yes, Donald Trump is responsible. Anytime that the person who's supposed to be the leader of the country spews out hatred and division and divisiveness and all that vitriol to other groups, he is responsible. And all of his little minions, the people who come on and who are Republican, who try to defend him, sometimes I see them on the TV and I'm going to punch them in the face. Here's a piece here that says the unholy trinity, Donald Trump, Fox News, and white supremacist terrorists. And that they are. But that's what the deal is, brothers and sisters. That's the reality of the situation. And it's only going to get worse. That's why, to me, what is most important for African people to close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves. Get it, and you know, I was talking yesterday at the ASCAC meeting, and we were talking about how messed up Africa is and the fact that the African leadership, all of them were educated in the West, particularly in Europe, particularly in Britain, and some of them educated here in the States. And so ascending to the leadership, they behave and act in the benefit for Caucasians and not for African people, not for their countries. It's a damn shame that Ghana still doesn't have decent roads. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that they don't develop a program because of the abject poverty that's so deep there. It's a damn shame. And there's other countries like that. They are not alone. The weak leadership of the African Union is pathetic. So when the fear of these Caucasians of the things that they say in terms of their numbers dwindling and they got to protect that and they got to, you know, they want to have a race war so they can kill as many of us as possible. Well, they've been doing that for a long time. And I don't see them not doing it. It is only up to us to make it stop by us not participating in any damn thing that they are involved in. Finally, us coming out of getting our head up out of our and then suddenly looking at the Caucasian for who and what he is. Say all the time, they have a vice grip on our minds. We must release that vice grip. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. BB4 Audio means a victorious destiny. BB4 Audio, family. Peace.